As New Zealand's government considers tougher gun laws, some of its companies consider pulling ads off social media. This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, Germany's two biggest lenders, Commerzbank and Deutsche Bank, confirmed formal merger talks this weekend. The German government, which still owns a 15% stake in Commerzbank after a bailout post-financial crisis, seems to favor a deal. Holger Schmieding, chief economist at German investment bank Berenberg, explains why.
The German government would like to have a national banking champion and has more or less egged on these two banks to talk to each other about a merger, which apparently somewhat reluctantly they are now doing. The outcome of these talks seems to be a bit open, as it's unclear whether the banks are really eager to do the tie-up.
Now, combined, the banks would have 20% of Germany's retail banking and control just over $2 trillion worth of assets. But unions worry about the loss of up to 20,000 jobs. Holger Schmieding again.
The merger seems to have very much the support of the finance ministry, which is led by social democrats, which traditionally have close ties to union. So in Berlin, concerns about job losses seem to be more than outweighed by this desire to have a bit of what you could call industrial policy, namely a deliberate policy to create a bigger domestic bank. The way Germany works when it comes to such job losses, they would only be done gradually over time in what is often called a socially responsible way. That is, you often wait for people to retire before you actually cut the job. In other words, there probably would be only a limited number of actual dismissals, even if over time the number of jobs were to be cut significantly.
Berenberg's Holger Schmieding. Let's do the numbers. Merger talks are sending shares of Deutsche up 3% and Commerzbank up 4%. Other merger news, Worldpay, spun out of the Royal Bank of Scotland during the financial crisis, is set to be acquired by U.S. financial services technology provider FIS in a $43 billion deal. And Prada shares have plunged as much as 9% today after China Merchants Bank cut its price target on the stock. It warned about higher operating expenses and an unexpected increase in production costs. Now, some New Zealand companies are considering pulling their ads from social media after Friday's mosque killings, which the shooter live streamed. The BBC's Phil Mercer is in Christchurch, where 50 people were killed.
Well, we're getting the feeling here that those companies are really tapping into the mood of the nation. There is a feeling here that if companies in New Zealand decide not to advertise, that most people would think that that would be a good thing. And I think it's safe to say that the power of public opinion here will be absolutely enormous.
Reuters is reporting that Lotto New Zealand, which is state-owned, has pulled advertising, and other companies, including banks, are considering it. And I suppose Facebook and other platforms would argue, look, we don't condone violence, and we've been trying to pull these live streaming videos and extremist content off our sites.
Yes, and they have done. They've pulled down hundreds of thousands of these sorts of videos since Friday's atrocities. But I think the feeling here is that are these companies doing enough? The Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, will have discussions with Facebook. And in the words of the Prime Minister here, the social media giant will have questions to answer.
Phil Mercer. Now, it's a secretive industry that impacts the lives of millions of people, but few of us consider where pain-killing drugs come from. The Australian island of Tasmania is actually responsible for growing around half the world's legal opium supply. The BBC's Hal Griffiths reports on an industry under threat.
So this guy's got one, two, three. The flowers opening cleanly.
At his farm in the rolling hills of Tasmania, Will Bignall inspects his crop. A field full of flowers preparing to blossom and bloom into a global drug supply.
When this petal doesn't open cleanly, it'll stick onto the capsule.
Growing poppies has helped double the income of Will's business. It's an intensive 12-week process that needs his constant attention. Before the seed pods from these flowers are processed into pain-killing opiate medications used around the world.
There's a few hundred of us growing over half the world's legal alkaloid. When you break your arm or whenever someone hurts themselves, that's the reality. People are going to need pain relief.
In just a couple of decades, this has become a multi-million dollar business that's proved profitable for this little island. But like any global trade,
it's vulnerable to changes in the market on the other side of the world.
In the US alone, painkilling drugs are linked to 140 overdose deaths a day. Since 2013, American prescription rates have been cut back year on year, causing global demand for the drug to drop. And that's hit prices for farmers back in Tasmania. Many, like Scott Bowden, decided not to sow last year after three decades in the industry.
We've been riding the ups and the downs, but if we don't have the ups, a certain amount of ups, then we just give up, I guess.
Will Bignall's decided to keep going. He's invested in a very large and very noisy irrigator to water his crop.
I've just got to take it on the chin. So, yeah, it just means I've got to go the extra miles. And it's a great part of my business.
A business he hopes that will keep on growing.
Howell Griffiths reporting from Tasmania. Finally, Berlin's public transport system is giving women a 21% discount today. The Frauen Ticket seeks to highlight Germany's gender pay gap. It's one of Europe's widest. Women are paid on average 21% less than men. Now remember, you can catch our podcast wherever you get yours. You can follow me on Twitter at BBC Anu Anand. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.